All right. You are listening to The Real World on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. And for those of you who don't know, The Real World is UBC Film Society's radio segment where we talk about all things film related. And in addition to hosting this radio show, we also put on various film screenings throughout the week and have many more movie-related events that you can find out about by following our Instagram at UBC Film Society. Join us tonight in the Norm for Let the Right One In, and tomorrow night for Videodrome at 6 and Ring at 8. And for those of you who don't know, I'm Emma. Lily is not with us today. She's out with a cold, but we have a very special guest.
Hello, it's Matthew here.
Yay.
A very different name.
Yeah, this is crazy. We never had a Matthew on the show before.
Very unique name,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
It's true.
For a very unique topic, talking about vampires today. Vampire movies. We are going to be going crazy because it's Halloween, you know? It's spooky time.
Ah.
Yeah. I'm scared.
I'm getting
like
really
that.
Scared. Sorry.
Yeah. It's getting too scared a day early. But before we jump into that, we're going to play some ads, some PSAs. So we will be right back.
What a lovely Vancouver summer night. I can't wait to sit by myself at the beach and look at my phone. Huh? What's that?
Man, what are you doing? Get over here and come jam.
Wow, what a lovely assortment of musicians. What are you guys doing?
This is E-Studio. We come together and build connections over music. No musical experience needed. Just come socialize and build your confidence playing music if that's your thing.
Wow, this is so awesome. Now I have a real-life connections with Vancouver's international community of musicians and creatives. Thank you, E-Studio. E-Studio is an international jam group where we celebrate music from all around the world and play together. Follow us on Instagram at estudio.cafe. estudio.cafe.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
For your oral listening pleasure, please join me, Marguerite, Sundays at 9 a.m. for Classical Chaos, classical music from around the world, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We'll see you then.
Royal Otis, live in concert, coming to the PNE Forum in Vancouver on October 22nd. Fresh off the heels of their debut album, Prats in Pain, and the viral cover of Murder on the Dance Floor for Triple J's Like a Virgin, don't miss the Australian duo on their biggest tour yet, Royal Otis, Glory to Glory Fall Tour. Tickets are on sale now at ticketleader.ca. TicketLeader.ca.
All right, we are back, and we're going to be talking about vampire movies for today, because it's Halloween, you know?
Very scary time of year. I've been hiding in my room all month.
Oh, yeah.
And only watching movies about vampires, which maybe don't help with me being scared.
Yeah, I mean, but you gotta like face what I think you're afraid of, you know?
Face my fears.
Yeah. Sitting and watching vampire movies is the best way to go about that. And our first vampire movie on the docket for today is What We Do in the Shadows, which is a 2014 mockumentary directed by Taika Waititi, following the lives of three vampire housemates as they try and navigate the complexities of modern life, and also starring Taika Waititi as Viago, Jemaine Clement as Vladislav, and Johnny Bruick as Deacon. So, initial thoughts? I know this is the first time you've seen this movie. It was, like, super recently.
I was... So I had no idea what to expect going into it. I'd honestly never heard of it before you said, hey, give this a watch. We're going to talk about it. I adored that movie. Oh,
so glad to hear it.
Taika Waititi, my beloved. I love how much he stars in things he works on.
He's just like, he just injured. Like, you know, I would be too, low-key. Like, if you got like that much power, like you run the thing, you're like, yeah.
No, high key, yes. If I had the authority to say, I'm going to write this, I'm going to produce this, I'm going to do whatever, and I'm going to be in it, I feel like he's getting all the whole spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
And he is having fun in this movie. And I love that. Oh my God, no. The costuming.
I was going to say, like, the costuming, I think my favorite, like, scene in the entire movie, I think I've seen this, like, 3 or 4 times, is when they're all, like, getting ready to go out and they're like drawing each other, like showing them like the little caricatures, be like, yeah, this is what you look like. Like, it's so funny and like
just like, hey, fun roommate activity.
Yeah,
I feel like you could incorporate that into your going out routine with your roommates. Don't have a mirror in the house, no phones, only artistic sketches.
That's the pregame. If you pull up to a pregame at my place, we're just sketching each other's outfits and being like, this is what you look like.
Oh, hell
yeah. The club is not ready for you yet.
The club is not ready for... And the club was not ready for them to pull up like that.
No.
No.
Like, the streets of Wellington were not prepared for those three vampires.
I also... Okay, one thing I loved about... I think I love this about, like, the mockumentary genre in general, but I think they just did such a good job of it, of just, like putting them in the modern context of... I've been to Wellington.
Oh, yeah?
I've been to Wellington, and I think it was just so funny seeing, like, yeah, that's just a regular down...
Yeah.
That's a regular-ass downtown street, but there's just Taika Waititi in a waistcoat walking around and a cravat.
Yeah, it's, like, it feels so, like, natural how they blend, like, the supernatural elements with just, like, mundanity of, like, living in the 21st century as, like, these kind of lame vampires. Like...
I have an awful question. I have an awful question because it's, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the characters' names, but because there's three characters and there is fuck, marry, kill.
Oh, oh, the big question. I think kill Deacon. I'm gonna start
with that's
fair.
Right
after that. Not a Deacon girl. The knitting, it is useful, I feel. And like, he does bang out the sweaters fairly fast, but like, that's not enough to save him in my mind. Fuck. Ooh, I think, I don't know, maybe Vladislav. I like the hair. That's fun, you know, good time. But like, marry Viago. Like, he seems responsible. He does the dishes, you know. He's got the floating teacup in the mirror. Like, that's so fun. Like, he's literally the silliest goofy guy.
No, I totally, I honestly, I think that's, I hate to say, but I think that's the right answer.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, it's Viago. Viago.
Yeah,
Viago. I feel like he might get a little too. I feel like he might get a little too on me about things. I mean, like, I'm a clean person, but he might get a little too on it. But I feel like, you know, I feel like we have great communication.
Yeah.
I feel like the communication would be
wonderful.
There'd
never be a problem with that. Like, you'd never end the relationship over bad communication.
Exactly. We might have to work on the, like, spilling blood everywhere.
Yeah.
The puncturing major arteries. That might be a little awkward.
Just kind of sucking at being a vampire. Like, that's definitely going to be a point. That's a conversation, like a sit-down conversation. What do you think? What's your fuck-marry-kill?
Well, realistically, like, it's very similar. I think, honestly, I might kill Vladislav and fuck Deacon. But, like, just because, like, it's kind of that grungy vibe.
Yeah.
It's that grungy vibe that Deacon gives off.
Yeah,
but, like,
that's fair.
As, like, as much as he's kind of gross It's like, I wouldn't marry him, no. But like a one night.
Yeah.
A one night. Vladislav, I feel like he's just got too much baggage.
He does have a lot, like, especially with everything with, like, the beast
yeah.
that's, like, happening. Like, you would absolutely have to hear about that. Like, he's gonna be talking about the beast the whole time.
I know, like, girl, like, I don't want to hear it,
yeah.
right? Like, especially for, like, a one night.
Oh, yeah.
If it's a one night, I don't want to be hearing about, like, about his ex that he's still so into
yeah.
or, like, it's like a hate love.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, I don't need that.
Who am I to you then?
No, exactly.
You know?
Deacon, I don't think, has that kind of baggage.
No.
And I think as much as he's a nasty little man, I think that ultimately leads to a better experience.
Yeah. Like, you know, he's there for a good time, not a long time.
Exactly.
That's part of the fun.
I think we can all agree, though, that Stu is the best.
Oh, yeah.
Stu is the best character in A Piece of Bedia.
And Stu actually was just Taika Waititi's flatmate.
Oh, was
he's
actually?
Not an actor.
Oh my
he was
God.
Entirely on set helping out. And they're like, hey, do you want to be in the movie? He's like, yeah, all right. And he's just in the movie. He's just some guy. Like, literally the definition of some guy.
No,
they
you're
pulled off the
shitting
street.
Me. There's no
so
way.
For real. He's not an actor. Like, this is, you look at his filmography, it's this. That is it. He just pulled up to, like, steal every single scene and then dip.
Oh my God, I'm actually, there's tears in my eyes. There's no way this man was just a dude.
He's literally just a guy, which is the funniest thing. I feel like that's just part of, like, the charm of this whole movie is everything feels so, like, authentic and, like almost like a school project of, like, you and, like, some friends just kind of, like, goofing off
mm-hmm.
and, like, not really caring about the result. And, like, you get something that is so endearing.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God. No, the, like, you hit it so, like, on the head there where it's, like, it's just that, like, it's that school project vibe. It's,
yeah.
like, that they nailed that mockumentary vibe so well
oh, yeah.
of, like, I'm just watching people hang out and have fun.
Yeah.
And it's, like, the things they're allowed to, like, they're just hanging out pretending to be vampires. And who wouldn't want to do that?
No, like, that's actually, like, the dream. Like, I know the only bit that wasn't improvised was when, like, Viago talks to his old servant over Zoom because Taika Waititi had to memorize German for that. And everything else is just off the cuff, like, them just going.
God. And I feel like it comes across so well in
yeah.
that, like, I mean, I do improv.
I gotta
mention
that. BC Improv
plug. BC Improv plug. I do that. And I feel like you can tell when – I love watching a movie, and I love watching a movie seeing – actors doing improv and just having fun with it because
yeah.
I feel like it just gives such an energy to it, such
oh
that
God,
like you
absolutely.
Said that authentic energy that you
yeah.
don't get with really heavily scripted comedies
yeah.
and that's something I loved about this movie.
Yeah, it just feels yeah so real, like even if there were bits, because I know this was like based off like a short film they made like I think like 6 years prior or something like that, which is like, you know, there are obviously like bits from that they're coming up again, but it doesn't feel like they're trying to force like these bits that were funny in 2005 to still be funny. They just are like still funny bits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like the fact that this is like over 10 years old and is still like such a funny movie really just points to how talented like these three are at building this chemistry between the characters.
Yeah, I was shocked, honestly, to see that this movie came out in 2014.
Yeah.
I was absolutely shocked because if this, like, if you had told me this was contemporary, like, this was, like, in the last 2 years,
okay.
I would have been like, yeah, yeah, this, like, the humor matches up. Like, this
yeah.
would totally, I totally agree. I think, like, it's that, like, organic kind of comedy that, like, builds out of, like, them just kind of being dudes
yeah.
hanging out, just dudes being guys.
Literally.
This is what boys being boys means.
Exactly.
Out on the town in their cravats, in their little petticoats.
Just in like the deadest clubs possible.
Yeah.
Swaying on the dance floor. God, I know they've talked about, because obviously like Jemaine Clement, Taika Waititi, like they're all like from New Zealand. So this was very much like them just shooting in their hometown, which is so interesting to see how they portray it as this kind of like dead town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, yeah, we, you know, half the businesses that they like shot in like closed down like 2 months after filming and that sort of thing. Like, they're not trying to like glamorize
mm-hmm.
this hometown or even, I feel like, reflect on it in like this like nostalgic way, like that you get with some movies like Lady Bird or something like that, where it's like the setting is like, you know, almost a character in and of itself. It's like, yeah, Wellington is a character, but it's like you don't like that character very much.
Mm. Well, it's funny because I was going to say it's almost funny how not a character Wellington
yeah.
is, how they kind of do everything in their power to make the city like so mundane
yeah.
and a backdrop where it's like, I kind of love that it's so just, yeah, it's just as is. We didn't touch it. We didn't do anything.
It's just straight Wellington.
We're just walking around on the absolutely deserted downtown street, you know, walking by a bunch of businesses that are like not busy.
Yeah.
I just love that. I think I love when films really make that setting live and make mm-hmm. that setting live and breathe. But I think it did, sometimes they do it in that way of like making it a character. And I think this movie did it in the opposite way of like, it made the city alive in the way that like an actual city would like genuinely just feel to walk around in.
Yeah.
It wasn't romanticized, like you said.
Yeah. It's, like, it really feels like you're there. Like, I mean, you said you'd been to like Wellington, so I don't know how similar of an experience you had to these guys.
Well, I passed through it with my parents when I was in high school. So I think definitely maybe a different vibe than, like, unfortunately, I did not have the fits.
Oh,
I wasn't
God.
Throwing those kinds of fits. I wish. I got to up my style game. I feel like I was looking at them and I'm like, I got to take notes.
No, I'm like actively sitting there being like, okay, I can find this piece in the thrift store. I can pull up in a screen accurate Viago fit to my 9 a.m. lecture.
Frantically
tomorrow.
Googling how I can tie a cravat.
How like... to tie a cravat for beginners. There was a period where I knew, where I was really deep in What We Do in the Shadows obsession. I'm like, this is going to come up for me. I'm going to need to know. And it did. Like, there's some, like, play I was doing, and I had to tie a cravat for someone. And I was like, this is it, you know? I've been, like, subconsciously preparing for it my entire life. But I've lost the skill. It's gone. I mean, I can't even tie a regular tie now.
Yeah, it's not like riding a bike. You need to be practicing. Like,
to
tie a cravat, it's a lifestyle choice. You're tying a cravat every morning to keep that skill up.
Which is like, you know... Viago's is so neat, and like no mirror as well. Like that guy's experience.
That's what I'm impressed. I know they did a whole bit about like, oh, it's so hard like getting dressed without a mirror. But I'm like, and like putting like the buttons on wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm like, honestly, you're tying like such a complex. Like your hair is coiffed.
Oh my
you
God,
are
no.
like you are ready to hit the town, girl. You don't need to worry. You don't need a mirror. You have that intrinsic fashion sense.
I know. Just like the sense of drip like transcends mirrors.
It's true.
So crazy. Oh my God, I feel like. We haven't even talked about, like, the werewolves yet, which are just, like, oh, my God. I love Rhys Darby so much. He's such a, like, goofball.
No, they're so, and, like, knowing it's all improvised, too. Like, the way they interact with each other and, like, the way that, like, the pack of werewolves, like, oh my God, talks amongst themselves, like especially the little end credits blurb where they're, like, all standing around with Stu and they're, like... And they're like, it's like the thing where he's like, oh, and like, yeah, I'm the alpha, so they all have to laugh at my jokes. And then like the guy laughs and it's like, I don't know, it's just like the way, and he's like, why are you laughing? And then Stu laughs and he's like, why are you laughing? And he's like, oh, I don't know, everyone else did. And he's like, yeah, that's the right answer. That's the right answer.
Oh God, it's just so, like, you can see, there's a sense of like chemistry that's been built up. You feel like there's such like a past relationship here when it's like, I know there isn't, but it just feels like these characters have been beefing for like 20 years.
Oh my God.
And it's like, I just want a spinoff where it's just their, like, beef. They're, like, gang war, pretty much. Like, whenever they, like, pass each other and they're like, okay, guys, like, be cool. Like, we're passing the werewolves. Like,
but, like, it's so giving, like super sheltered, has no idea what that kind of, like, conflict looks like. Like, because it's like, oh, my God. It's just so funny watching, like, the... like them interact when they pass by each other and like trying to like shit talk and it's just like stop
yeah guys stop. guys
let's not fight guys
just the hissing at each other.
God,
it's like
so
oh
funny.
My God, it just the like it's the most like pretentious group of kids you've ever seen that thinks they're tough.
Yeah, it's like you're in like the upper class neighborhood and it's like two groups of kids from rival high schools that have walked by each other and they're like do you want this? Do you want this? Yeah. Walks into like their mom's Prius or something.
Exactly.
Like 2 seconds later.
Oh, you want the smoke or whatever. It's like you're getting into like a goddamn Tesla. Like, come on. Let's be so real.
Called an Uber. Like, the Uber driver's waiting. They're like, do you want this?
Yeah.
Do you want me to cancel? You want me to cancel right now?
Yeah, I'll do it. I don't even care. That's how crazy I am.
I don't care. It's my mom's credit card. My mom's credit card, she doesn't even check.
I'll look the Uber driver in the eyes and cancel the ride. I don't care. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Yeah, the werewolves though, I think were definitely a highlight for me. Yeah. And I almost wish I got to see more of them.
I know they've been talking for years about doing a spinoff, like about the werewolves.
My dream.
Because they've done like the What We Do in the Shadows TV show.
Yeah.
Which is like 6 seasons long and excellent. I cannot recommend it enough. Like, even though it doesn't follow the same characters, they had a lot of the same sort of, I think the original costume designer stayed on for the first little bit, and a lot of the original cast kind of, well not cast, I guess the original crew came with onto the show, at least for mm-hmm. the first few seasons, and then kind of handed it off, which I think is like, if you're gonna do an adaptation, that feels like the right way to do it is to have everyone so heavily involved.
Yeah.
Because I know when this movie came out, like Jemaine Clement and Taika Waititi talked a lot about how they feel it wouldn't work if an American like audience was like the target, mm-hmm. which the show is American. So it's kind of interesting that it does translate.
Yeah.
But I do think there is something so like quintessentially like New Zealand about this. That
very
just
Kiwi.
Feels, oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, it permeates.
Yeah.
Especially having, like, having visited and, mm-hmm. like, having a couple friends that are from New Zealand. It's, yeah. like, it's just that certain aura you get.
Yeah.
It's that aura of, like, it's a lot of, like, the politeness to it, mm-hmm. too. Like, that underlying politeness.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think people compare, like, New Zealand is the Canada to Australia's America, yeah. in terms of like that kind of like that kind of vibe and that demeanor and that yeah. and like the stereotype of that. And I think that like you can feel that in this movie where it's like that like even when it's like they're beefing on the street, it's still there's an underlying like politeness to it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think it's so funny.
Like when Viago like goes to tuck like the napkin in before he goes to like suck the lady's blood. It's like, God.
Oh my God. Like putting the newspapers down.
Yeah.
Like,
he's so resigned. She's like talking about her dreams. He's like, okay, I gotta suck your blood now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the whole thing of like, I want like, hey, well, I'm gonna suck their blood anyways.
Yeah.
Why don't give them like a good date?
Yeah. It's so funny like how they approach the like myth of the vampire and just like, because I feel like normally there's like two camps of vampires. It's like you get sexy vampire, you get monster vampire.
Yeah.
And then they've just kind of created this third thing of loser vampire,
yeah.
which is just so bold to go with.
No, I was so true, because I fully, like, when I was watching these movies, I was like, it's so funny, like, seeing, like, the evolution of, like, vampire
yeah.
as, like, yeah, like, the, you know, monster and, like, mm-hmm. creepy other to, like, oh, like, sexy, like, it's mm-hmm. the otherness is kind of sexy in that
yeah.
way, and, like, the mysterious, like, ethereal vibe, almost back to, like, these are just like, these were just like guys
yeah.
at one point, right? Do you get sexy and mysterious
yeah.
once you're bitten? Or like,
that's like
do you have to
effect.
Earn that?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Which is, yeah, it's so interesting to see how that's evolved and like how they're playing with that. It
mm-hmm.
feels like, because there's like, clearly, there's like with Vladislav especially, he's like probably, maybe hot take, the sexiest of the three. Like he's got
that's
like
fair.
That happening. And
yeah.
then, you know, there's Peter, which is, he's the most like monstrous. Clearly, he's literally just Nosferatu. Like
Peter, my beloved.
Rest in peace, Peter.
That's so sad.
God, I think about him every now and again. I'm like, he didn't deserve it. You just eating his live chickens in the basement.
No, when he was so chill.
Yeah.
Like Peter. Like I loved the photo montage at
yeah.
the beginning of the movie, actually, because I loved how it like so quickly established like
yeah.
this goofy vibe of like
right off the bat.
Yeah. Oh my god. And I think that like. I don't know. Peter was a homie. Peter
yeah.
was a real one, and he did not deserve to get vampire hunted. I'll say
no.
it.
He was chill like that.
He was chill
know?
Like that.
Like, I'd hang out with Peter.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, just sit in silence with this guy. Like, show him a few funny videos on my phone. Like, I feel like he'd love TikTok, you know?
No, that's so real. And I think that, well, I think Peter might have been more of a, like, musical-y guy.
Ooh,
I think
yeah.
he'd be like, no. Actually, I take that back. He'd be more Vine. I think Peter would rock with Vine. I think that, like, TikTok might get a little too, like, fat. Might get a little too, like, fast-paced for him. He
yeah.
is, how many, like, 8,000 years old?
Oh, yeah. He's ancient.
Yeah, he's an ancient man. One other thing I loved that it was, like, I loved that there was such a gap between Peter being 8,000 years
yeah.
old and then, like, Vladislav, I think, was the other oldest.
Yeah.
But even then, he was only, like, like a few hundred still, like yeah, or he was something like that.
Nowhere near as old as like Peter. It's like, was he just hanging out by himself for these like thousands of years?
That's what I'm saying.
Bad for him.
If he could, like, no, I think, see, I'd be friends with him.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'd drink Peter's blood and I would be chill with him.
Yeah. Like, he's literally like just been hanging out for that long. Like, you've got to be chill, like, right? After that much time.
Right?
God. Yeah. What We Do in the Shadows. Incredible movie. I cannot recommend it enough. And just to sell you even more, here is a absolute banger off the soundtrack. Opening song, You're Dead, Norma Tanega, also features as the theme song for the TV show. So if you rock with this, you can get a lot more of it by watching the show and the movie.
Don't sing if you want to live long. They have no use for your song. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead and out of this world. You'll never get a second chance. Plan all your moves in advance. Stay dead, stay dead, stay dead, stay dead and out of this world. Run fast, don't stand in the sun. There's too much work to be done. You're down, you're down, you're down, you're down and out of this world. Don't ever talk with your eyes. Be sure that you compromise. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead. You're dead and out of this world. Hear the unloved weeping like rain. Guard your sleep from the sound of their pain. Long gone, long gone, long gone, long gone and out of this world. When you smile and it tears your face, it's time for the you're down, you're down, you're down, you're down and out of this world. Now your hope and compassion is gone. You've sold out your dream to the world. Stay dead, stay dead, stay dead. You're dead and out of this world.
All right, that was You're Dead by Norma Tanega. Certified banger. I love it. Play that one at the club.
Probably I loved that song. That, like, yeah, set me in that I knew I was in for a good time when I heard, yeah, that song in the movie.
The opening sequence is just incredible. Yeah. What we were talking more about What We Do in the Shadows, yeah, off air. We could keep gabbing, but we will push on to Twilight, which is just the irony watch. Like, when did you first watch Twilight?
I first watched Twilight probably in, like, gosh, I think it would have been like late high school. I missed the, like, opening train of Twilight.
Oh yeah.
Like, I never, like, I think I was at the time, like, too much of like a, like, stuck up my own ass high schooler, like, teenager, where it's like, oh, Twilight, that's cringe, like, yeah, I don't care.
Twilight but for losers.
I've watched it so many times since then, and,
really?
Like, in so many different contexts, like, with friends, with, like, by myself, like, in, like, groups, in, like, group watches, in marathon, by itself. It's one of the movies of all time, to be sure.
It really is. Like, I feel like every time I watch it, like, I'm just like, yeah, this is a movie that exists. Like, it's not an unpleasant viewing experience by any means, but nor is it a pleasant one necessarily. Like, I feel like half the time I'm just sitting there, I'm like, yeah, I'm consuming something right now.
I'm consuming media is probably the top of my mind when I'm watching Twilight.
Oh, yeah.
Genuinely, I do forget a lot, though, that first, like, oh, my God. It was so funny because I did watch I watched these in like reverse order. Yeah. I watched Nosferatu.
Yeah.
And then I watched Twilight.
Oh my God.
Which was a crazy back to back.
An insane leap.
1920s silent film leap to Twilight was bonkers. The
backlash
tonal whiplash.
Of the century, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I need to know, like, off the top, Jacob or Edward?
I feel like when I first watched it, like, I was like, oh, like, Team Jacob. But then, like, I feel like, I don't know, like, they're both kind of freaks.
They
like,
are, yeah.
Going back, like, rewatching it, like, I don't even know who I would pick. Do you have, like, a very, like, strong, solid team bias?
Well, they all, well, aren't we all kind of freaks at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Then, and I think that's beautiful. Thank you. I think that, personally, I'm very Team Jacob as, like, the guy.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, between the two guys, like, as dudes,
yeah.
Jacob, I think, edges it out for me.
I agree.
Like, okay, but Edward matches Bella's freak, and I think that's what's most important.
Yeah, like, I feel like Jacob, like, especially early movies Jacob, he's, like, somewhat, like, just a well-adjusted, like, guy.
Yeah.
And then, like, in the last two, when he starts, like, going insane, he's like, yeah, I've soul bonded with your daughter.
Yeah, like, that's kind of weird. I'm gonna be real. Like, yeah. I think you should probably have a conversation before you soul bond. Maybe I'm, like, old-fashioned in that way, but, like, I think, like, maybe get, like, an approval, like, yeah, maybe, you know, talk about
conversations
it.
Conversations before soul bonding.
Yeah, like, I know things move fast nowadays, but I think that soul bonding might be something that we can, like, take a step back on.
Build up to that.
Exactly. It's in my mind, and I need to bring it up, the baseball scene.
The baseball scene. My God.
What is it with movies that have nothing to do with sports and having banger insane baseball scenes for no reason?
Oh my God, yeah. Like, there's like, yeah, we, you know, they're playing family sports. What if we cooked up the best, like, 4 minutes in cinematic history?
Genuinely, I also, like, I also had a very unique viewing experience of Twilight because I have already seen it many times, right? But I just wanted a refresher.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually watched it on 1.5 times speed on Netflix.
The classic.
And I will tell you that the baseball scene at 1.5 times speed was, like, honestly actually kind of elevated it another degree.
Those guys would be hauling ass at 1.5
speed. And those guys were hauling ass is what I will tell you. No, like that, like the cinematography in it.
Yeah.
The perplexing cinematography of Twilight.
Genuinely inspired. Like, I think for me, it really, what like gets me is like the props choices. Like, especially whenever they're in like a lunchroom or like eating food, they will always have the most batshit crazy like lunches.
Yeah.
Like, I think Emmett just has like a bag of eggs at one point or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
I remember that. Oh my God, I do remember that. why?
Like,
what school, what are they feeding these people?
Literally, like, I need to talk to the props designer who's just like, fuck it, bag of eggs.
My question is, did the props designer go to high school?
Yeah, that's the question. Have they ever been in a high school ever?
Oh my gosh, what's the author's name? I totally forgot her name.
Stephanie Meyer.
Oh my God, it's such an iconic name. But like, did Stephanie Meyer go to high school?
That's a question.
Is a question that I'd love to know based on the depiction of high school in this
literally
movie.
I know she only took one writing class ever, and it was for her to graduate. So she fulfilled the writing requirement. Was like,
hey,
yeah, I can spin a novel out of this.
You know what? C's get degrees, queen.
Yeah,
honestly, hey, I kind of rock
so
with that.
Real, you know,
hey, no, you know what? Me too, girl. Me too.
I think English 100 prepared me to write Twilight. Like, I think I could write a novel of that caliber.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's so fair, and that's so fair. because something that like does get me, and to circle back to vampires a little bit, because I feel like we could talk about the cinematography forever. One thing I will that stood out to me so much in terms of the cinematography before I move us on was like, there was a scene, it's the scene where she's like doing the research and just like finds just this website that just has like vampires throughout the world on it.
I love that website.
Like, what, who made that website? Who's running that domain? God. Like, what, like, who just has compiled like images from like Egypt and Peru and like what, like what is going on?
This is the niche people need.
That's what I'm saying. But like, wonderful that they just have that website as like a top Google search result that she could just find it. when, like, she finds out he's a vampire and they're, like, in the woods.
Yeah.
Don't know how they got in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
They just left school and went to the woods.
You know how it is.
Of course. And there's, like, a sweeping shot of them standing next to each other that goes, like, full 360.
Yeah, I know the
and then into the sky.
Exact shot you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's such a crazy choice out of nowhere.
Genuinely. And it's, like, kind of shaky, clearly a handheld camera. Like, they're clearly got it like a handheld gimbal or something.
Oh, yeah.
They're running around them in a circle and, like, doing these dramatic. And I'm like, who let you cook this hard?
Who was like, we need this crazy ass shot in the middle of the, like, forest scene?
No, exactly. Like, exactly. Vampires. Right? To bring it back.
Yeah.
What a crazy, like,
yeah,
jump that vampires had from being creepy weirdos, creepy little freak guys,
yeah,
to so hot, sexy, want him.
Tortured Edward Cullen sparkly. Like,
yeah.
That's really, God, it's so interesting to see the evolution of the vampire, because I feel like there is something inherently sort of, like, sexual about, like, a vampire. It's like the whole thing of, like, oh, they have to be, like, right on top of you, basically, and, like, the, like, sucking of the blood and, like, all this, like, it's a very, like, intimate sort of monster in the way that, like, a werewolf or something kind of isn't. Like, they're kind of doing their own thing, you know, but, like, a vampire, it needs, like, someone else, I guess.
Yeah, like, werewolf doesn't need to give you a hickey, you
yeah
know what I mean? Like,
no,
no one else, like, Frankenstein is not out here, like, absolutely going to town, like, I'm showing
oh, yeah
up with bruises the next day,
yeah,
right? Like, vampires are so, like, intrinsically, I think it's so funny that, like, it's such an intrinsically kind of, like, a, like, it's such an intrinsically, like, hot monster,
yeah,
weirdly, that, like, I feel like only in the, like, the 1900s, 1800s, when, like, overt sexuality and things like that were, like, frowned upon, could
yeah
a vampire be construed as, like, gross.
Yeah. No, literally. Like, it feels like as people sort of started to, like, recognize and, like, reconcile with, like, depictions of sexuality in media, they were like, okay, wait, hold on.
Hold on,
there's
wait.
Here.
Guys, why am I feeling something for Nosferatu? Hold
yeah
on, wait.
Hold on. Count Orlok?
Okay.
Loki?
Okay, Count Orlok. Kind of, hey.
Yeah.
I bet he was a looker.
Yeah.
Right.
You seen those teeth? My God.
Okay.
I respect Stephanie Myers for somehow, like, fully pulling any traces of queerness from, like, Edward. Like, I feel like normally, like, a vampire is so inherently, like, such a queer figure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, going back to the idea of, like, the sucking and, like, all this sort of thing. And, like, Dracula mm-hmm and having, like, you know, Jonathan Harker as, like, his sort of, like, male victim. Like,
yeah,
I feel like there is something about queerness that is just tied to vampirism.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, obviously, like, you still got, like, Alice Cullen, who it's like, okay, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. Like, she's going for Jasper. Are you joking?
No, so real.
Like,
look at him.
Like, 20-yard stare at any given moment. Like,
mm-hmm, like, that, are we really, really?
He's just, like, also, like, yeah, straight up, like, just a Confederate. It's like, okay.
No, he is. Yeah.
That's crazy.
What a crazy, bold choice, by the
yeah
way, for her to just intentionally include, like, yeah, and one of these vampires is a Confederate.
Yeah. And then we're just like, we have to go, okay, Stephanie. That's cool.
Stephanie, you chose to put that in.
Yeah.
That was not, like, no, that didn't need to happen.
Yeah. Like,
he could have been a Union soldier.
Literally.
It could have been
just some guy.
Just been some guy.
Yeah.
Like, hey, it could have been, like what we do in the Shadows style, just some
yeah
dude. Like, Jeremy from Oklahoma.
Literally.
Like, you know, why'd they have to do that? But I know exactly what you're saying, like, with, like, queerness mm-hmm in, like, vampirism and just how it's so inherent. And it's so funny how it's so devoid
yeah
of that here. Because, like, I feel like so much of movie monsters, there's so mm-hmm much inherent, like, there's so much inherent queer theming
yeah
with things like any kind of, like, thing like vampires, like that, like, kind of, like, othering
yeah,
in,
exactly
in those characters. And I feel like, yeah, it's so funny how this movie took that,
mm-hmm,
like, such an inherently queer theme and subject and, like, made the vampires good but also
yeah
took all the queerness out
yeah
of it to, like, in making them, like, the protagonists. And I'm almost like I feel like that's the one thing I wish I saw more
yeah
was, like, I wish it was such a popular movie that, like,
oh,
I wish there was a better, you know, way they could have balanced that.
Yeah. Because it's like, how are you gonna have this monster that is, like, so historically, like, just drenched in queerness and be like, yeah, and they, you know, they're good Christian guys, They wait until marriage.
Yeah, like, genuinely. Oh my God. Like, the theme, yeah, the underscoring in that theming, though, so yeah. True of like, we're like waiting until things are super serious. Like, but like in the way that it's like, they literally can't.
Yeah.
Until like things are super serious.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, I also like, God, there's so many things in that movie. I wrote down so many like random notes when I was watching it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's the fluorescence, iconic line. Iconic line. I also like just love how in the beginning of the movie, like the Cullens are introduced as if it's like a Disney Channel high school show, and they're like the outcast, like loser kids, but they're like kind of cool, they skateboard. And it's such a vibe of how they're introduced.
No, the way they're introduced is so funny.
God.
Like, every time they pull up in that stupid truck and like Emmett's like in the back, like, sit down.
He's just standing.
What are you doing?
King, what are you getting out of this?
Yeah.
What are you getting? Like the wind in your hair? Are you walk to school?
Yeah.
Walk then. Like, I don't know.
Like, you're so fast. Like, I know.
Yeah.
Like, running in the, like, hold on tight, Spider Monkey. That scene, my dad's favorite.
Fuck,
I will say.
Spider Monkey.
Like, the first time I watched this, it was like with like my parents, like my sister. Mm-hmm. Like, this was like family movie night.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that scene came on, and my dad was like, yeah, this is it.
No, you know, that's peak. It's peak.
Yeah.
And like, one thing I also love, like, is the, like, Edward, like, because Bella starts, like, figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Which is because, like, my big thing about Twilight is how the fuck is no one putting one, like, two and two together?
Yeah.
Bella Googles, like, two things.
Literally.
And goes, yeah, he's a vampire.
Yeah.
So, logically, vampires exist in the cultural consciousness of this world. They're not, like, because, like, a lot of ways that monster movies and, like, things like vampires get around, like, people figuring it out is that they just say, like, okay, we've retconned this monster from the world. This is a parallel world where this monster doesn't exist in folklore. But it's, like, she's just Googling vampires.
Like, she's also seen, like, Nosferatu, probably. Yeah. She's aware of that.
Oh, my God, yeah. Like, 100%. So it's, like, my first thought was, how have not more people figured this out?
No, literally. Like, you have, like, Universal Studios, like, Halloween Horror Nights going strong in the Twilight universe.
Yeah.
And no one's like, hold on a minute.
Wait.
Dracula.
Hey, Edward, like, the Cullens are kind of, why are they all pale and have weird colored eyes and, like, don't show their teeth and also, like, don't go out when it's sunny? And, because, like, then there's also, like, the whole thing of, like, Edward's so bad at lying.
Yeah. Like, he cannot keep up a charade to save his life. And it's crazy. It's like, your existence is, like, built on lying, gang.
Yeah.
Like, I really hope at some point you learn how to, like, just poker face lie.
No, genuinely. Like, when they're at the dinner, when they're out and he's, like, they're getting food and she's like, why don't you get anything to eat? And he's like, I'm on a special diet. It's like, why didn't you just say, I'm not hungry?
Yeah. Like, he's so proud of himself for making all these little clever little illusions. Like,
I know.
You're giving yourself away for the bit. You just need to,
it's
like, be normal.
Just be normal. Me to Edward Cullen. Just chill.
Just calm down. Be a normal person.
You're not, like, you're not him. God, it's just so funny how it's like he's so alluding to it the entire movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then he's like, no, you shouldn't know this about me. Yeah. And it's like, well, stop dropping hints.
You're literally like begging for someone to ask. You are winking at the camera about this. You want someone to ask you, hey, are you a vampire? So bad.
Yeah. And he goes, no. Blushing. Like,
it's like the same thing as like when you like perpetually like, and like sigh around someone. So they'd be like, oh my God, what's wrong?
Oh my
it's
God,
like
no.
You're just fishing for it. You're fishing for the question, Edward.
No, exactly. And I'm like, listen, I get it. Like, I think if you're a vampire, I feel like at a certain point, like how much you're sacrificing to be a vampire, like you're sacrificing a lot of social, like maybe it's kind of fun to be like, well, it'd be fun to like tell someone,
because
then that's kind of cool, I guess. Like, that's my, like, I can flex that, like,
exactly.
Yeah, I got like super speed, which is like, it's also so funny how like they're just superheroes, basically.
It's insane.
Like, why does he just have Superman powers?
Crazy. Like, he's just entirely just the Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely, but absolutely. They all are, like, I think they're all very, you know, I would say, like, also, in the idea that they're all, like, super attractive, that it's, like, it's kind of like that that twist on vampirism where it's like, you know, they're very like it's kind of like, oh, they're like very pretty, they're very desirable now. Yeah. I do think it is like the contrast of that with the opening of the movie where they're like, yeah, and I bet they're all like freaky incest couples.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Wait.
Such a strange contrast.
It's such a, I also don't really get why they had to like make a point about them all being like people thinking that they're freaky incest couples.
So weird.
Like, just, they're so conventionally attractive and like they're such conventionally attractive people. Like, and they're so like keep to themselves. It's like, I don't know where that comes from, a little bit, almost.
No, it's so strange. But Twilight, what a movie.
What a movie.
You know?
One of the movies of all time.
One of the movies, arguably, yeah, of all time. And, you know, round it out, we're going to hear a little bit of a song from that movie, from the iconic baseball scene.
Yes.
This is Supermassive Black Hole by Muse. You know it. You love it. Let's hear it. Was Supermassive Black Hole by Muse, the banger, obviously.
Banger, such
iconic.
A banger.
You hear the opening lines, you're like, yep, Twilight baseball scene.
I'm picturing this. I was playing the scene in my head as we were listening to that.
Oh yeah.
I was going to say, crazy that baseball scene, how hot everyone in that scene is playing baseball.
Yeah.
Like
insane.
God, yeah.
Just perfect casting, you know, on their part.
Immaculate.
Incredible.
Yes.
But yeah. On to our third, final movie, the original. You know him, you love him. Nosferatu.
Nosferatu.
Oh, crazy guy. But for those of you who somehow haven't heard of Nosferatu, it is a 1922 German expressionist silent film directed by F.W. Murnau. And it follows Thomas Hutter, who's been summoned to the castle of Count Orlok, who seeks to buy a house near Hutter and his wife. If this sounds familiar, that's because it is entirely the story of Dracula that they did not get permission to reproduce and then kind of got sued by Bram Stoker's estate. And then all copies of this movie were ordered to be destroyed. But they didn't. And thank God they didn't, because what would I do without this little freak?
Honestly, and I've been saying that. One of the original little freaks, one could argue.
Oh, yeah. Like, of all time.
Genuinely, one of the freaks of all time. It's so funny. I think I was, like, looking into that, and it was, like, just one or two. Like, I think it was one copy survived.
Yeah.
Just by some, like, French movie collector who just happened to have it, and it wasn't destroyed, and that's the only reason we still have it.
Like,
and I'm like, shout out that one random dude.
Yeah.
Who was just like, this shit rocks.
Yeah. Let me keep this.
Yeah.
Hold on to this for a little bit.
Okay. Such a jump from talking about, like, going back in time. We went from 2014 to, like, when did Twilight come out? Like, 2008?
Yeah. Like, I feel like it is very. Yeah.
Like, year of, like, I was going to say year of the Wii coming out, too. And I was like, no, that's not correct.
That's crazy that was immediately 2008. Year of the Wii. Year of the Wii.
Sometimes I do contextualize years within when did the Wii come out. But like crazy jump in time to go from the 2014, like very contemporary, like comedy, you know, improvised comedy, Twilight, you know, very of its time to jump about 100 years back.
Throw back to 1922. Like, throw this, back to 1922. Just said it's like 100 year anniversary, obviously like 3 years ago now, but like, or 2 years ago, it's 2024. I'm losing my mind.
Three years, not yet.
Yeah. Soon.
God, the march of time.
Yeah. I mean, if you're listening in the future, then maybe you can be like, it's 3 years for you. But
that's a little call out for him. For us. But yeah, no, like Nosferatu, like, first and foremost, as a silent film. So fun watching silent films. And like nowadays, they are so like funny to watch
kind of
intrinsically.
It's genuinely, like, I went into this thinking, okay, like, classic horror, you know, it's going to be, like, I've seen, like, Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Like, that's, it's got its silly moments, but I was not prepared for the level of, like, tomfoolery that was about to occur in this damn movie.
Mm-hmm. It's genuinely almost slapstick-esque. Yeah. Like, I think, like, I don't know when, like, silent slapstick was super popularized, because that'd be, like, Charlie Chaplin, stuff like that. Like, I don't 100%
like,
know that.
Yeah, like, 30s.
30s, yeah. So kind of before even,
this is, like, pre.
This is, like, pre-slapstick, but it was basically doing slapstick in a lot of these scenes. Like, oh my gosh, Hutter was his name, right?
Yes.
Hutter, when he's just, like, falling over and collapsing like, flopping around every 2 seconds. I'm like, okay, drama queen.
Yeah, it's like, this is so much. Like, he's so committed to the bit of overacting.
Yeah.
Like, I know, obviously, they had to. And they're like, you know, you're pulling on, like, your stage training. And, like, even, like, film is kind of, like, in its infancy. Mm-hmm. But, like, him sitting up in bed and just stretching, like, oh my god,
like, what a beautiful day, like, I
ripping off
it.
His shirt to go wash his face.
Oh my god, like, yeah, I just, like, he's such Hutter. It feels so flamboyant in this movie. Can I queer read Hutter from Nosferatu?
I think he's begging to be queer read.
Okay, like, yeah, because that's kind of what I was feeling watching this movie. I'm like, this man is so, like, oh my god, like, I want, like, I want a slow burn between, like, him and, like, him and Count Orlok slow burn when, right? Like, I don't know, I just, something about, like, it's, like, it's the overacting. I feel like it's so, like, things like, it is, like, obviously, it is a stereotype, but you see it a lot in movies where, like, queer coding is very baked into, like, that kind of overacting.
Yeah.
And, like, the, like, dramatic characters. And I think it is so funny looking back at, like, these older movies where that kind of coding wasn't, like, didn't exist really as a concept at the time.
Like, they weren't thinking about
it. Yeah, and then you see it and you're like, oh my gosh, if this was, like, 2012, someone would look at that character and go, oh, they're so, like, that's so queer coded.
Yeah.
But it's,
but in, like, 1922, I guess there was, like, oh my god.
Like, oh my god, a distinguished gentleman.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's so crazy to me because I feel like the story of Dracula is one that is very, like, inherently queer. Like,
yes,
you get, like, all these adaptations and you're like, yeah, okay, this is so queer. Like, even, like, reading the novel.
Oh, my,
like,
God,
yeah, okay. So it's interesting to see that still, like, kind of rings through even in this adaptation where Dracula isn't this, like, kind of mysterious. He's like, he's still sexy in a way, but, like,
is he still sexy in a way?
Not in this.
Okay. Like, I thought we were saying Count Orlok was still kind of sexy, and I had to check you on that.
That would be crazy thing to reveal on air. Count Orlok, yeah, kind of sexy.
Smash or pass Count Orlok. And
oh my god. But no, like, I think it's such a bold move to go, like, full freak mode with Count Orlok, like, to just, like, fully lean into the vampire as a monster and not as this, like, distinguished sort of, like, upper class, like, gentleman. Like, obviously, he's not, like, you know, a, like, thoughtless beast. Like, he's still buying real estate. He is entirely buying a house. But, like, he's definitely a lot more monstrous than we see, like, Dracula ever really become.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Even in his, like, original, like, even his in his original inception, like, Dracula was never, like, just monstrous.
Yeah.
Like, that was never really, like, there was always that air of, like, it's, like, he is, like, this noble in terms of, like, standing, like, guy. He is, like, he's a count. Like, he owns property.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, and I think it is such an interesting depiction of, like, to almost, like, Well, there's such an undertone of, like, not to downer it, but like Nosferatu, there is such an undertone of othering, and it is such an overt, like, you know, it is a very overtly, you know, questionable depiction of people in Nosferatu. And I think, like, it's so funny because that almost takes precedent over the kind of faithful interpretation of the book, almost.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because it's the whole thing of, like, they're going to Romania, and it's this, like, this backwater, like, castle, and no one will go there, and, like, oh, and look at this guy, he's freaky and scary, and he's so weird, and it is, like, the undertones of it are, like, it did get almost a little distracting for me at certain points, where it's, like, I'm trying to just focus on this story, and you are going out of your way to make him such a freak that it's like you didn't have – he could be scary enough as it is.
But they're like really going for it.
They're
like
hammering
like,
it in, yeah.
Looking back at like even like the Dracula story like through a modern lens, like you do see a lot like the fear of the other and like in that, which is just like it becomes to a point where it's like, okay, this is just like kind of getting into – almost hateful territory at some point.
Absolutely. Like, okay. Oh my gosh, yeah. No, and I think like as well, like one thing I think is really funny, to kinda switch gears a little bit, to kinda backpedal a little bit. It's so funny also thinking about I was reading the comments on the free the free upload I was watching of this movie. And it was someone who was saying like, yeah, like, you know, my great grandmother watched this movie in her tiny hometown theater and was so terrified, like was so scared. Like it was the scariest movie that she'd ever seen. And I think that's so interesting looking back on like how funny it looks now.
Like how much our tastes have changed. Evolved.
When like that was the scariest shit. Yeah. And it's like, people can't see this because this is a radio show, but like, and he's just kind of standing there most of the time, like in a little like
you awkwardly caught him, like he was like going to like the pantry and like he turned on the lights, like,
like in the middle of the night. Yeah, it's like 3 a.m. and you caught him reaching for the shredded cheese in the fridge, and he's like, ugh.
Exactly,
because he's just like it's like him sliding around like chasing people, just like his hands out and like kind of hunched up, like I'm gonna get you,
yeah, and like I saw this as like the silent synced version, so that's like when they score it to Radiohead, and I think that was really interesting to kind of like have this like modern, like obviously very modern album, like I think it was Kid A and Amnesiac that they used songs from, to have that put over this and to still kind of like get the vibes of it. It's like, okay, like was this like, were they scoring it with like their Radiohead in the 1920s? Like were they going crazy with that, you know?
Yeah, because I watched the like the video I watched, or the upload I watched, was the like original like scored like orchestra where it's like it's one continuous like song.
It's just like a build.
Yeah, it's just like a build, and it's like the one continuous like orchestra playing over it. And like I want to watch the Radiohead version now, because like the orchestra was nice, but it was very like, you know, it does get a little samey after a little while, because it's like, well, it's all the same instruments. It's the same, like, you know, we're so spoiled with scores nowadays where it's like such beautiful like arrangements that it's like, okay, this is fine. But I feel like it definitely like it definitely worked with the movie really well in that it like really built up with it, because silent films like inherently need that, and I feel like it really, I felt it working in tandem with the score to really build emotion, when the most they can do is put a picture of like a paper on the screen with text,
and it'd be like, oh, death has come to your little town. It's like, it's got to be the score kind of like cooking with that.
Absolutely,
you know?
yeah
but yeah, oh my god, we've been yapping 2 minutes left, so I will say, like, any final closing thoughts on vampires, vampire films?
I have such an appreciation for them. I have an appreciation because they're fundamentally some of my favorite little freaky guys.
Yeah.
And I don't care that, you know, allegory, all that, like maybe that, like, you know, bad allegory in the past, but nowadays vampires, little freaky guys, as can be seen in What We Do in the Shadows. And I love that.
I love What We Do in the Shadows. Mm-hmm. Yeah. definitely highly recommend the movie. Highly recommend all these films that we've talked about today. Yeah. Twilight in a different sense, but unironic watches, go see What We Do in the Shadows. Go watch Nosferatu, be it with or without Radiohead.
I'll say unironically watch Twilight. I'll say it. I'll stand on that.
Yeah. You know what? Sit there with your film beret. Take some notes. Yeah. I want to hear about how this is like an like postmodern masterpiece.
Yeah,
actually.
maybe not the sequels, but definitely the first one. Yes.
Take that fully seriously, I think.
Oh, please.
But yeah, well, thank you so much for coming on, Matthew. This was a blast.
Thank you for having me. This was so wonderful. I love yapping.
Yay, yapping. Yeah. And as always, this has been The Real World. We are on every Wednesday from 4 to 5 on CITR 101.9 FM. Have a great Halloween, everyone, and I will see you next week.